TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here.
Restoring the purity and giving. If you listen to that now and apply the wisdom now, you're going to have this great Christmas. It's going to be just wonderful.
And a happy new year.
And a, regret. And a happy next 5 years. It's like 60 months to pay this thing off. And, you know, how do you take this thing back? And, you know, crazy. I was all caught up, you know, I was just, you know, it's, you know, and we talked about it yesterday, Black Friday. I mean, of all the thing, and the reason why they say that is they supposedly enter into the black. I mean, if our poorest person is richer than 80 or 75% of the world, you know, our retail stores are very wealthy. Mm-hmm. They're in the top 1%.
And if you had to wait 11 months to be in the black, come on, what are you living on?
I know that's right. I know that's right. So, so here we are. I want to be able to talk about. I want to be able to talk about the things that are taking place, but we want to kind of lay a groundwork for that. But I'm so glad that we have Christmas music to remind us of the season. Remember, as we always say, yes. Jesus is the reason for the season.
That's right.
And think about this. Imagine you were in the perspective of where the Jews were in Germany. And obviously, it's Hanukkah going on and different things. But imagine it's a Christian perspective that this is going to be your last Christmas that you're going to have before this great turmoil happens, this battle over you, ensues in the world. And you can either look at it now and understand that if we begin to focus on the reality of what Christmas is about, then understand that maybe it won't be the reality of Germany. Maybe it won't be like that. Because Christmas, it's Christ must. Think about it. Christ must. Somebody says, you know, don't say Merry Christmas. It's like, it's his birthday.
Yeah.
It's the birthday. We celebrate that December 25th as the day that we remember the day that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born.
Mm-hmm.
The day that Jesus took on the form of man and God. He was all man and God. Mm-hmm. It was a day that God said, here, I'm going to give my son for you. In the next 33 years, I'm going to walk out. He's going to walk out who I am to you. And he's going to be born. And brother, let me tell you something. You tell time by him. So you can't say this doesn't exist. You know, you're just held captive by darkness. And Lucifer's got you when you're trying to remove Christ. It's like trying to remove you from your birthday.
Right.
Anyway, so when you think about this, that God gave us a gift on Christmas. The gift is his son. And so we give gifts to each other in remembrance of this gift that he gave us, his son. It's not to feed your lust. You're actually supposed to repent from the sin. It's actually to remember what he did for us. And you think about it, because we turned it into shopping and all these other things, you know, stuff for us and, whatever, retail, Black Fridays and stuff, and now Cyber Weeks, that now it's become about something other than Jesus, to the point where they're wanting to take him out of his own birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine 10 years down the road, they're going like, why do we even have, what's this? Well, there was this ancient practice by this country that used to be, this land used to be called America, but now it's called Amero.
Yeah.
Canadian, Mexican, America, something like that.
A little shout out to
from the north to the south.
A mayor in New Jersey, they wanted to put up the Christmas tree and they wanted to rename it the holiday tree. And he said, not while I'm mayor. He said, it's going to be a Christmas tree.
And then, wow. When you spell Christmas during this season, spell capital C-H-R-I-S-T and then put the must.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, you can even start spelling must, M-U-S-T, instead of M, you know what I'm saying?
M-A-S.
And it's like, because you must, this is what he says, you must follow me. deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Right. And so when you think about a Christmas tree, the Christmas tree is not so you can show off all your ornaments that you won't let nobody touch. Jiminy crickets. It's not an idol thing, right? Don't touch it. You're going to break that. It's like, what happened to the spirit of Christmas here? Let's just thread popcorn. Anyway, so the tree, think about it. Cursed is he who hangs on the tree. So at the very same time, and this is what I'm saying with my heart, how I see it, that obviously it's the gift of Jesus is the gift of salvation given to us, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then a tree, he says, cursed is every man who hangs on the tree. So the very fact that you have a tree, in your house, is you're saying this child that was a gift that was born to die on this tree. Mm-hmm. Was born to die on this tree.
Right.
So you bring that, you put the gift on the tree. You put Jesus on the cross, gift on the tree. I don't know, how in the world could you take him out of this? And then he said, and this is what he says, the word of God said, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 60, he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is over you, and the light of the Lord is in you. And understand that kings will come to your light, come to your glory. Well, that's what happened when he was born. These king, the Magi, it's not a play, folks. It's a real thing. The kings came with their gold and their treasure and their frankincense and myrrh, and they laid it before Jesus. And because the star, the light, he's the light of the world. He came as the light of the world. And for those that receive him as their Lord and Savior, that same light enters inside of us. And so what happens then? You put lights. You know, one time they had candles on a tree, which I can imagine today they're talking about bad extension cords. What about a bad candle?
Hello.
Isn't that amazing? Real. Anyway.
Don't go to sleep.
Yeah, man. Right. And so, but you put lights on your tree. You put just lights on your tree. And so what is that? That's the light, Jesus Christ, on the tree. The gift is Jesus Christ. That tree is not about you. That's about him loving you, saying, hey, this is me giving for you. If you receive me, then the gift you get is me. You get salvation. You get eternal life. You get forgiveness of sins. Somebody says, do I get a PlayStation 2 with that as well? It's like, come on. What have we done?
Wow.
Do you understand hell is for real? It took that kind of sacrifice. And he was born to die the day that he was born. Think about it. He was God enough. He was human enough and humble enough. Jesus was a babe enough that he was dependent on Mary holding him and nursing him at her breast, but yet God enough to produce the milk that came from her to be able to nourish him, to be able to live out a life of 33 years so that he could die for you and die for me. Christmas is about this. And you think about it, and I love the fact that now that it's gone to color, different color lights, because he came to save the nations, the ethnos. We're all different colors. And it's a way to look at it. And so when you're thinking about Christmas, you know, put Christ back in the must again, understanding that if you take Jesus out of Christmas, you have no forgiveness of sins. If you don't have Jesus, it's bound for eternal damnation and darkness under Lucifer's power and darkness forever. I mean, what a wonderful gift that we have this Christmas. So I want to encourage you, as we're beginning this season, this journey, and you haven't even started singing the 12 Days of Christmas yet, and
wow,
all these different things, to begin to think about what this season is about. Begin to think about, you know what? I am not going to make it about me. I'm not going to get everybody all stressed out because I want everybody to come over to my house, and I want them to have my food, and I want to do things my way and my traditions. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to pick up my cross, my tree. I'm going to lay down my life on it, pick up my cross, and I'm going to follow Jesus, the light of the world, and ever how he wants the season to turn out. But I'm going to be a witness of that light, not only in this season, but in the seasons to come. Because Jesus has sent us out into the world to go tell people who are in darkness that Jesus came as the light of the world to be able to free them. This is the perfect time to witness about Jesus Christ and understand to free them from the power of darkness, the power of Lucifer, to the by willingly picking up the cross and following Jesus, the power of God. So I just want to encourage you this Christmas to keep, like the mayor of New Jersey, that keep Christmas, keep Christ in Christmas. Think about what you're doing. It is so, so very, very important. This could be our last Christmas if we don't wake up.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we called ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups couldn't provide after-school care in a Christian setting because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week, and in that it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
A song high above the trees with a voice.
You know what? I'm just so tired of religious folks, you know what I'm saying? That bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, well, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose. And it's like, come on, dude. Listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks and come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah,
a lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But you know, you can't, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
Right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children, thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Crazy. You imagine? I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill, and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, mm-hmm. he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, yeah. if anything that I've been, you know, in my life, and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah. You know, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another
one again? You know, I just took the nail out of your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, so and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as they, the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. And he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his you know, Joseph, his a dream and say, you know, dude, in a dream, yeah, because he couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news is always there, and he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life, and they take off and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, got it. I prayed last night, and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream, and he said, listen, you know, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, you know, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing me a favor, doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, you know, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, you know? And it's like, and then you start thinking about it. And I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And, who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin, but I got to say, the way he responded to him when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them
full of dead, you know,
dead man's bones. Mm-hmm. You're saying that, you know, you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I mean, I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And my goodness, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer you're a sheep. You're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're not a sheep because you said, you know, Hail Mary full of grace. You know, we're not going to talk about the Pope today. But or you said, you know, forgive me, you know, and I want you to be my savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen,
when I was hungry, when I was thirsty. In other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You know, you could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, you know, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not whether we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated us based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people, what was in their heart. Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen, don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, you know, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, ma'am. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than to be the one that's standing up around Jesus who is seated down criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus' mm-hmm. way of using finance, if you mm-hmm. would, in the ministry right there. But then he separates, he takes all the goats, he takes all the goats, and he says, listen, you're going to go because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not, and the fruit doesn't save us, but it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people, and it's amazing in the name of God how evil people can be, and the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face, and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, dear God, he said, my bones are wasted away. He says, I feel so isolated and alone. And even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened? You know what? He was a man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And then how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering. It doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself. You're going to stand before God, no witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like these things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just watch all this and live vicariously through others instead of, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in his will, this is what I want to do for him. I want to be able to be fruitful for him. I want to be the sheep that stands before his throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, and he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing when people have just a limited amount of talents. They can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know. Am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, oh, my goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that he's just expecting us to do. Be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read. It's the same thing. I mean, are you going to talk about parties and
you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her. And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are mm-hmm. you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister or your brother, you wouldn't know about that.
No.
You just kind of go, nuh-uh, right? Nuh-uh. Well, she did, or well, he did. And it's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. Yeah. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something, even if we die doing it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right.
But you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Lord Jesus, asleep.
I don't know if y'all, you guys heard about this or not, that Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, his mother, I remember seeing pictures of him getting baptized. He was getting baptized, I think, at the, the Atlantic. And he's tall, he's big.
Mm-hmm.
And the two ministers that were baptizing him came up to his knee. It was so, I was like, that is just precious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, come down here so we can put you in the water. And he was standing in the water beside them. Mm. And they looked like two little children standing beside him.
Wow.
And, but he, you know, he had a very rough upbringing. You know, his mother was abused by his father, and his father just left them.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother was addicted to drugs, and her name is Jolinda Wade, and had a real rough life, and, drug houses and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, suddenly when she went to jail for, you know, what she had done, when Dwayne came to visit her in jail, it just clicked. She was so angry with herself that she had gotten to this point, and then she's watching her little boy on the outside of that cell see her in that condition. She was just angry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And we all been there, right? Where you just get angry.
Yeah.
And
And she began to not forgive herself. She's just angry, and she got out, and she tried to do things right, but she ended up back on drugs again. And finally, long story short, she ends up just giving her life to God and getting set free. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. She was so touched by God that she became a pastor.
Oh, wow.
You know, her name is Pastor Jolinda Wade. And Dwayne saw his mother through all these transitions. He saw her in the bottom, and now he sees her where she is. And now, because of his success, he was able to buy his mother a $2 million church building.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? A $2 wow. million. Wow. He's given a testimony, you know, at the church. He said, listen, you know, I've seen her at the bottom, and now I've seen her at the top, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual blessings, what she has and she is right now. And, of course, she's been quite a pastor for quite some time in the context of that, but since his success, that he was able to buy her a $2 million church building. And I just thought it was so cool. What a big turnaround.
Wow.
And you can find out you know, more about them. Her church, I believe, is in Detroit. I'm not sure. And, of course, he's with the Miami Heat. And just follow them and just say how much that their testimony means to you, you know, for God. Here she was. You think it's totally over. Your father leaves. Your mother is on drugs in the streets. She's in drug houses. She's arrested. She says she's going to make a difference, and she doesn't. And she said, all this time, you know, my kids were loving me. But because I would not forgive myself, it kept me from receiving their love. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't receive it.
Mm.
You know, and so many people are being loved, but because they hate themselves, because maybe you hate yourself, or you haven't forgiven yourself for, you know, what you've done or what you did, whatever it is. And somebody's trying to love on you, and you accuse them all the time. You know, you don't love me. You don't love me. Like those people go, I don't ever win anything. You know, it's like nobody's ever loved you. And what it is the person, you can't receive love until you forgive. It's like it puts this cold, crisp, hard heart shell over your heart. And when people are loving on you, you don't feel it. It doesn't seem real to you. You know why? Because you feel the enemy's convinced you that you don't deserve love for what you did, or your failure, your mistake. You know, you're in jail again. You did the drugs again. You know, you whatever again. And you just decided, when you sought the devil for counsel, that, okay, I'm not going to forgive myself. I'll punish myself by not forgiving myself. And what happens is you end up punishing everybody else in your life because they feel the pain of your unforgiveness. You're harsh and mean and hateful. And you justify that by saying, well, I treat myself that way. It's like, okay, just treat yourself. Don't treat us that way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost an impossible thing. You know, I always say, you know, if you're going to hit yourself, you know, don't swing big because you might hit me too.
Right.
And it's if you don't let it go, the end of that's not well. The end of it's not well at all. And you love others. He says, love others how you love yourself. And if we're wondering why we struggle with having empathy and compassion for other people, quite often it's tied to self-hate. You know, being hard on oneself, constantly listening to what the devil has to say about you and being in agreement with it. And you kind of give yourself permission to hate yourself. The thing is that therefore he says, you know, in conjunction with that, you cannot give to others what you refuse to receive yourself. And you're going to have to be able to receive God's love. And it's very important, especially if you say that you're a Christian, you're walking with God, realize God is love, but there's no love in your life. Think about it. There's no love in your life. There's no fruit of the spirit of love in your life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Love keeps no records of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil. I mean, all the things about love. And he says it doesn't matter what you do. If you do all this stuff, even for him, and accurately use your gifts, like prophesying and healings and miracles, he said, listen, if you don't have love, it's nothing.
Right.
It's just nothing. So it's important for you. Don't skip over the fact of thinking, I can keep on just, you know, being married, being a parent, you know, being a minister or whatever, and not deal with a Christian and not deal with, this is a serious issue if love's not flowing in your life.
That's right.
First of all, you're missing love himself, because that's what the good news is about Jesus Christ. He forgives. He forgives. And if he forgives, who are we to hold unforgiveness? So if God forgives us, then we should forgive ourselves. And it really, believe it or not, it's kind of wild. But and we'll talk about it in the wisdom moment today, that pride is self-awareness. I think more pride is demonstrated off of feeling bad about oneself than being overly confident in oneself. It's this deep black hole, this deep spiral of self. I mean, you get around somebody that's deep in pride, which means self-aware, whether they're you know, arrogantly confident, overly confident about themselves, or whether they're just constantly beating themselves up. Either way, you feel like you're falling into a black hole. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going in. Hold me. Throw a rope after me. They're sucking me into their pride. Help me. Help me. I'm going to die. You know, it's like this black hole in space. You're just getting sucked into it. And it's like, mm-hmm. Are we talking about you again? Oh, my goodness. Help us. No, it's okay. I'm talking bad about myself. Right. Oh. So I was just saying, I'm not saying anything good about myself. I'm beating myself up. And it's pride. Yeah. When you understand that, it helps you forgive yourself, because you're thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was, and it's really called false humility. Mm-hmm. It's false humility, which is another definition for pride. It's when we think beating ourselves up is doing God a favor. It's a works mentality. And if anybody, I like what Rick Joyner writes in his book, one of his books, he wrote that the stingers for the devil, probably. I don't know what was the name of it. But anyway, if there's one people that God can't use, it's people with false humility. They're constantly beating themselves up. Well, first of all, the message you have delivered is not love. So we don't mind you not being used. It's not a great loss until you deal with your stuff. Yeah?
I think it was Epic Battles of the Last Days.
Yes, that's it. Epic Battles of the Last Days. And so when you think about it, it's pride. When you think about false humility, you know, I'm beating myself up, I'm not good, and I make mistakes, and yada, yada, yada. And you realize, okay, that's pride. It's easier to repent from that than to think, I just need to forgive myself, and have no meaning and no foundation to that. But when you realize it's idolatry and self-focus, and you got to move beyond that, and take it to the cross like everything else, and that it's pride, and God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it makes you just want to say, you know what? I'm not going to have any pride in my life. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that. And more people do harm to others because of false humility. They hurt other people under the guise, it's okay because I'm hurting myself. I don't treat myself any better than that. Not realizing the same consequences are going to happen even if you were arrogant and cocky and you know, thought that you were better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think that you're better or whether you think that you are not better, you are on your mind. And he says, unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, you can only have a part of me. Now, is that how it goes? He says, if you pick up your cross, he says, if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and deny yourself. And if you don't do this, you can't even have a part. Mm-mm. A part. Think about it, a part of me. Read the red letters. It will change and it'll fundamentally transform your walk.
Sure will.
With God, and it will really help you out. Yes, yeah, so Dwayne Wade's mother is now a pastor, I believe, with her husband. And Dwayne's given a testimony at her church talking about how he's seen her at the bottom, now he's seen her at the top, and he wasn't talking about the top of money and stuff, but just at the top of how God's restored her life and using her now. And she says to Dwayne that you are my hero. And he says, you are my hero.
Wow. Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's cool.
You are my hero. After all that, can you imagine your kids seeing you? And some of you may have gone through this. And your kids are seeing you trying to shake this thing. You're trying to shake this drug. And you fell back into it again. And you know that your kids are you know, seeing you drunk on the streets, or seeing you with the drugs, or seeing you in this, you know, with this drug dealer and stuff, and you just said you're not going to do it anymore. And all that humiliation and all that pain and all the things that come to that. And then hearing down the road, after God restores and forgives and everything, that you're their hero.
Mm.
Mm.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah.
That is totally, totally beautiful.
You're listening to VFN Radio.
Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
And I like that subway idea. That's, you know, I've been having that on my heart as well. So we must be, you know, we must be connected there. But uh-huh. I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm really going to work real hard to get
talking
me a
about
sailboat.
A sailboat and you just, I don't know. They're no, not, it's not
no,
clicking.
Come on, man.
It's not clicking.
Listen, you know that I'm basically a fish. I love the water. I love the mm-hmm. ocean.
So why don't you go diving then?
But I've been on a boat with you. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't get it.
But that was a one-time experience. Chris, on the boat many, many years ago, at night, no less,
right.
In the most
even
choppy...
better, you don't see the waves.
Oh, I felt every bit of those waves in the dark. Man, I was.
If you're such a fish, though, why won't you go diving?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. I like to be on
he's
top.
A little minnow.
I like to be on top of the water. Now, I don't know how so much down, you know?
Okay.
But I, you know, do like the water sports, you
scared.
Know? I don't want to say scared. Concerned. Concerned would be a good word. But, you know, I told this story what happened to me and my brother-in-law one time going on that kayak, you know. There was this big school of fish. I've
no,
shared that. Oh, yes, yes.
No, what happened?
Sure, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Please do. Confess.
You know, me and Jerry were on this kayak, and it's a beautiful day, man. Those kayaks, they give you an illusion because on the water they feel like they weigh nothing, but them things are like about 100 pounds of solid plastic, you know, at least 100 pounds. It's gotta be
this
more
is
than
a kayak
that. A kayak
when
yeah.
you're sitting on it. Okay,
right. It was a two-man kayak. It's pretty big, probably maybe 12 feet long probably. Okay. And there's just like solid plastic, you know, they're built, but mm-hmm. they float in the water and all that. Well, the waves are really choppy, so the one side has a handle and the other for that person to carry. You need two grown men to carry this thing. There's no one man can drag this that mm-hmm. heavy. And so we're in the water and the waves are just all over the place and just smashing us. And we're like, we're going to go. We're going to go into the deep. We're going to go into the deep. We're going to do this thing. We're going to conquer these little waves. So we finally, you know, we fell over a couple times. You get a good wave, it's a 200-pound weapon. It's going to bang your, you know, ankles or your shin right underneath you. I mean, it's you got to get out there pretty quick because
wow.
if you stay in the shallow, that thing will beat you to death.
Right,
it's no
right.
joke. So we get out there and we hop on and we're paddling towards the wave now, towards the wave. So you're rising up with the water, man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and you got to keep your balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're making it good. We're like going way out deep now. We've overcome a couple waves. We, you know,
feeling good about yourself, huh?
Huh? Yeah, you're feeling good because yeah, we haven't
fallen. Capsized.
Yeah, we've fallen about five times prior to that, you know. So now we're doing good, and all of a sudden, we're in deep water now. We're past the part where
you're in no man's land. Now.
No man's land. You know, in the beach is a certain portion where they have the rope. Past this far, you know.
You're on your own bow.
So the lifeguards are not responsible for you. We have passed the rope. And all of a sudden, okay, before a huge wave comes, there seems to be like this valley, this valley before the wave as it's just cresting up over you, and all of a sudden we see this huge school of fish, and I'm telling you these fish had to be at least, I don't know, they look like 3 feet long in length and maybe 2 feet wide, and there were these dark black spots. I'm thinking, what kind of fish could, what is this? Uh-huh. What is this?
Right.
And we're like, oh no, we're like, don't fall. Oh my goodness, there's a school right below. Don't fall in this. Don't. And as soon as we said don't fall, we fell right over them.
Oh no.
Man, you haven't seen two men move so fast. He says that I caused the kayak to fall over.
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I was paddling really good, you know. Moving side to side. You can get it. You use both sides of this thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we fell. I didn't jump the gun, and I didn't blame him. You know, but he tends to blame me on that one. But man, that was a blast. Mm. I mean, it's so much fun. We made it back to shore.
Did you ever see the fish up close?
No. Praise God. I mean, they just came right underneath us. I guess kept going. But I thought, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus out here.
It's over.
It's over. These things are going to get me, whatever they are.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Man, not too long ago, I even saw a stingray. A stingray that came real close up to the shore. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, but I'm an ocean guy. And this time, I think, I liked it. Been on the jet skis. I like that. Uh-huh. But I think it's an...
I'm going to get you under the ocean one day.
No, I don't know about under.
I'm going to get you under.
I don't know about under, but I definitely want to, you know, cruise the water, do a little, you know, Christopher Columbus type stuff, and, you know, uh-huh, get out there and explore a little bit.
Right.
Mm. You know, my son and I had a journey on a canoe, but that's for another time on VFN Radio.
We don't have time for that one.
No, we don't have time, and that was a very interesting moment, but... In the water. We got to be in the water. We survived it. We made it.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was reading this morning in Matthew 11, and you know, with everything that's going on in the world, I remember where I came from, you know what I'm saying? Without Jesus, it's just impossible to do things fruitfully or productively or, you know, with anything that's going to last, you know what I mean?
Right.
And in Matthew, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm.
I mean, besides, you know, God saving me, and I think about, you know, when I did give my life to the Lord, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a yoke. You know, a yoke is huge. I mean, this is this big wooden metal contraption that hangs around these animals on the back of their necks. And right, usually it's a pair of oxen or whatever. And they drag this thing behind them that, you know, tears up land or drags equipment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this massive thing. When you think about a yoke, you know, it's so heavy. You know, think about the yoke that's on us before we give our lives to the Lord. It's just this huge weight of sin. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, it was almost something like this 5,000-pound weight came off my shoulders.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had that same experience. It was just like, I just felt lighter and just everything was brighter. The grass was greener. The sky was blue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, that's that yoke he was talking about, that, mm-hmm, you know, the sin and, you know, the burdens and the cares of this world. And all of a sudden, it's just gone.
Mm.
And that really paints a perfect picture of what that yoke he's talking about. But then he says, you know, but you need to take my yoke.
Yeah. He also say about that, you know, that yoke that we carry, it's our attempts outside of knowing God to be God. Exactly. That thing is crushing us and destroying us, mm-hmm, because we're trying to live a life separate from God. Leonard Ravenhill said the greatest sin, at least the people are talking about adultery, the greatest sin is not adultery. He said the greatest sin
is somebody attempting to live their life apart from God. That's the greatest sin.
Exactly.
You know, let's get real. And you have this burden, this thing that's crushing you down and all this sin. Mm-hmm. You're carrying a heavy yoke. I mean, that's so good what you're saying.
Yeah. And when he puts that yoke, his yoke on us, it's not that he's doing everything for us. It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. You think about, there's two oxen under the yoke. There's two of them working together.
Yeah.
But it's not going to crush us when we allow him to help us carry it. You know, he's the one leading, you know what I'm saying? He's the one holding all the weight. But then there's that times when we get so confident in our own abilities, all of a sudden, you know, we got this thing figured out now, you know, things are happening, things are green. We start looking at our armor and,
right,
you know what I'm saying? We forgot, there was that part where he said, where I'm humble and I'm, you know, we forgot to look, do what he did.
Yeah.
And then he'll just take his finger off of it for a minute and we were like crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah.
Well, it was started in the spirit.
Now we're trying to fulfill in the flesh.
Exactly.
That's right.
So that's so important not to take off his yoke.
That's right.
Not to try to run ahead of God and, you know, think that we can do it on our own, which is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ludicrous to think that we can do this on our own. And it's just amazing, you know, what God's done in our lives, the things that he's allowed us to do for him.
Yeah, it's so totally amazing. It's so totally amazing. And I think about that yoke, you know, the whole idea for the yoke is what the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean? Right. And the thing about it is that if you have a two ox or two cows yoked, this contraption on one neck and then it's on the other cow, let's say,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to be moving together at an equal pace.
Right, exactly.
So that they can, normally they're dragging some sort of, you know, what do you call those?
Like
trial or something. So they can dig up the ground. Yeah. So they can, you know,
yeah.
make the ground.
They till up the soil, yeah.
They till up the soil. That's what I'm trying to say. But if you have one ox that's too strong, then what happens is that one ox overpowers the light ox. And they're not going in straight circles. They're crisscrossing all over the place, going around in circles. They're not going straight. They're just going where the strong ox takes them because the other one's not able to keep it moving at an equal pace. And and so you can be carrying a heavy yoke in yourself. You can be yoked with somebody else who's going the wrong way. It's like this is going nowhere real fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been on that yoke cycle. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
oh, yeah.
This is misery, you know. And it wasn't until I found the Lord and I realized that this is not meant to be. This was not meant to be. I'm amazed at how many, and I look back at my life, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to attempt to live a life apart from God is insanity. And that's why people are crashing, they're burning, they're heavily medicated.
Oh my God.
Doing all sorts of stuff because you weren't designed to be God. Mm-hmm. You weren't designed to be God. God is God.
Exactly.
We're not
God. We weren't meant to carry all this.
Yes.
It wasn't as, I mean, that's why we're so ate up with cancers and diseases and they got a pill for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so messed up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to do things in our own flesh.
Yeah.
And therefore, it wreaks havoc on our bodies.
Yeah. But the Lord gives an invitation. I love what you said. He gives an invitation. He says, take my yoke. Take my way. You know, put this on you. A yoke has to be put on. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can stop right there. You know what I'm saying? God wants to teach us. He wants us. Jesus lived this perfect life, and he has given us every single thing we need to live godly, right?
Okay.
He's blessed us in the spiritual realm with every blessing, right?
That's right.
God has equipped us. He has empowered us. He's given us his word, his Holy Spirit, right? He gives us opportunity to commune and speak with him and pray, right?
That's right.
The power of God, the blessing of the Lord, the grace of God, We have everything that we need. He says, come, it's an invitation. Come, take my yoke. This is a partnership. Come be with me. Take that thing off of you and learn. Learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an invitation that we should all take. He says, listen, I'm gentle. I'll be easy with you.
Yeah.
You know, my perception of God when I didn't know him.
Yeah.
So he was had a big ruler. And he was looking to spank my hand every time
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we got to be real with this. And, you know, part of my story was just that, listen, I was away from God in my college years and probably, I'm sure before that, but definitely my college years. And I didn't know God. I had a form of godliness, but I just didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mom trying to talk to me about the Lord. And I was so far away from God. That's how you can be darkened in your understanding, blinded. I was so far away that I'd say, your God doesn't want me. Because mm-hmm. everything that I want to do is sin.
Right.
And we don't, and you know, we don't gel, and he's just gonna put, you know. I didn't know God. But God gives an invitation. He gives an invitation because he's gentle and he's humble in heart. That we can find rest for our souls.
Right.
And that's exactly what I needed. That's what you needed. It's what we all need.
We all need it.
Our souls are just maxed
right out.
I mean, and that burden is so crushing that the only relief, the real relief that we could ever have is when we actually come to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to get this off of me. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. If you're listening today and you're tired of dragging that yoke, you're tired of the sin, you're tired of just being crushed by everything that's happening, and you don't know God, and you don't, let me tell you, take God's yoke today. Get the invitation. Receive what the Lord has for you and accept them into your heart. And begin this wonderful journey with the Lord.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.